Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
This episode brought to you by Cuesta Verde Home Developments. Located in the Simi Valley, this picturesque neighborhood has all that an all-American family could ask for. Picturesque vistas, friendly neighbors, liberal building standards, lost souls and demons, and ample parking. Come see our Model A home floor plan, which features vaulted ceilings, an in-ground pool, and is entirely collapsible into a single infinitesimally small point in space. That's Cuesta Verde off Highway 118 on the corner of Cottonwood Road and Roxbury Street, located over a burial ground. If you're looking for where everyone goes to call home, they're here.
Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk.
An opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Go, 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 go.
Always get priority.
But we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible.
Wow, that didn't sound good.
Hey, 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 horror fans. High energy. Hey, 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 horror fans.
Way to catch yourself.
This is your host, your host with the most, Dr. Bryce Hansen. I hold a PhD in spookology, and my friend across from me is David Day, foremost expert in scare notice.
That's me.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Can you give my computer levels?
Yep, sorry.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
That's better.
So, if you're new to the show, welcome. How many times am I going to say welcome?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
You can tell me. As always, I've stayed up till 1 o'clock the previous night. Check out our website at horrormovietalk.com. There you'll find links to all our past episodes and links to our social media where you can communicate with us and other great horror fans. We post new episodes every Wednesday. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail, our number is 682-253-4468. That number again is, you can rewind it. Today we've got a great show, one that, honestly, it's one of my favorite movies in the genre, and it's surprising that we haven't covered it till now.
It's shocking, really. This is such a staple.
This is on the short list for, why the fuck have we not reviewed this movie yet? This and The Thing is like, what?
Yeah, what have you been doing if not reviewing these movies?
Yeah, we're talking about Poltergeist.
That's right.
I don't care what you have to say about Poltergeist. I'm going to force you to hear me talk about it. We'll start out by giving a brief review and score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry, 5 being an average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good it transcends genre boundaries. After we give our score, we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film. And then later on, we'll be playing a new game called Remake or No Remake.
Wow.
Going to test you to see if you know whether a relatively classic horror movie has been remade or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds like it'd be pretty good. You know, anybody who has some bad things to say about Poltergeist, you may want to check yourself a little bit at least. Like, first of all, I probably agree with you a little bit, but also, you know who directed this, right? It's the guy who made Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
Tobe Hooper. Mm-hmm. And you know who produced this, right? It's one of the best directors, writers, producers of all time, Steven Spielberg.
Right.
Maybe not writers.
So, anyways, we rewatched Poltergeist. I think we've both seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Already. I've seen it a couple times. And except for some floating green screen lamps, it still holds up. Here is the trailer for Poltergeist.
The house looks just like the one next to it. And the one next to that. And the one next to that. A young couple live in it.
Give Ken a kiss.
You are so obnoxious.
With their three children. And something more.
Last
night, do you remember
when you woke up and you said you were here?
Uh-huh.
Well, who did you mean? Who's here?
TV
people.
Something's funny going on here next door. Something,
We were wondering if maybe you had experienced any disturbances lately.
What kind of disturbances?
I don't know whatever's over this house.
Steven Spielberg crosses a frightening new threshold into a world within our own. Its form is revealed.
What is it?
Its focus is clear. And the games are over. Poltergeist. It knows what scares you.
Does it?
So, Poltergeist, as of this recording, can be found on Netflix. It's usually swapped between Netflix and Amazon Prime.
That makes sense.
From the director that brought you The Cannibalistic Families in Texas, Tobe Hooper's Poltergeist is the story of the Freeling family being tormented by an unseen force in their totally not built over a cemetery house. Just kidding. It's obviously Spielberg's film. The Freelings are an aggressively all-American family comprised of the father, Steve, played by Craig T. Nelson, mother, Diane, played by Jo Beth Williams, almost non-existent teenage daughter, Dana, played by Dominique Dunn, RIP, young boy, Robbie, played by Oliver Robbins, and the littlest and most angelic little girl, Carol Ann.
Just a cute as a button little sweetheart.
Played by Heather O'Rourke, RIP.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
She died in childhood, huh?
12.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, this is one of those movies they talk about when they talk about cursed productions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, weird deaths and stuff. I think in Poltergeist 2, they actually brought out, like, an Indian witch doctor or something to, like, bless the production or something.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Anyways... Carol Ann, the little girl. Oh, I read a piece of trivia. The casting of Carol Ann. Drew Barrymore was up for the part.
I remember hearing this.
And Spielberg was like, no, we need someone cuter and more angelic.
Holy shit. Wasn't she in E.T.?
Yes.
Drew Barrymore.
Which was filmed in like
83?
Back to back.
Yeah.
I think
it was like right after this.
Yeah. So
this was 82. This was released in 82.
Mm-hmm.
And E.T. was released in 84, which means it was probably either in production at this point or it was being cast maybe around
the time of shooting. I think they're shot almost at the same time because the other trivia piece was one of the rumors of the reasons why Steven Spielberg was the actual director of this movie was that it was to get around contract negotiations for him to be able to basically direct two films.
Wow.
At the same time.
Wow.
Anyways, Carol Ann, the little girl, starts talking to the TV, and not in the wholesome Blues Clues kind of way, more of the talking to whispers and the static kind of talking.
Troubling.
Weird occurrences start happening at first to the delight and then to the horror of the family when it ramps up and the house steals Carol Ann into the netherworld. A haggard Stephen Freeling recruits paranormal investigators and the world's tiniest psychic to get Carol Ann back and exorcise the demons from their house. That's the synopsis. My review is I'm an unapologetic
lover
of this movie. It really is the template for family-based haunted house horror for me. Well, maybe modern day, but like you can just take this template of them discovering them being affected and them like overcoming and just stamp this on pretty much any haunted house movie. And I'll be like, okay, I'm on board. It really has something for everyone. It's accessible enough for general audiences that don't want to see gore or be consistent or constantly scared out of their gourd. But it also has enough scares and like genuinely good special effects to satisfy horror fanatics.
The special effects in this are astonishingly good for 1982. Like,
yeah.
Like it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that this is 82.
Yeah.
And frankly,
and like any special effects movies that blows you away, it was of course made by ILM.
ILM?
Industrial Light and Magic.
Oh, okay.
Which is George Lucas's special effects company up until recently, I guess.
Some of the two most impressive in terms of their net wealth that we were looking at during the trailer.
Yeah.
Directors, or I should say movie producers, makers, directors, whatever you want to call it, are Steven Spielberg.
Auteurs.
Steven Spielberg's net worth is $3.8 billion. And if you think that's impressive, then you'd be shocked to find out the person who trumps him by double is George Lucas, who did it all with basically one movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you're telling me Red Wings didn't bring in all that dough? What was that movie called? Red Wings or Red something?
I don't know.
On the scale of Ghostbusters to Exorcist, Poltergeist definitely leans more towards Ghostbusters, but it matches the quality of both, in my opinion.
I'm so glad you brought up Ghostbusters, because this is a Ghostbusters movie.
Right.
This is pre-Ghostbusters Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the special effects look straight out of Ghostbusters, and the ones that work, at least.
Right.
Like the ethereal, kind
of
cool.
A lot of them effects. Are even better.
Yeah.
Though.
This is another example of Spielberg being a master storyteller. There's very little fluff and it's finely paced, but there are a constant stream of little vignettes that add character, humor, and realism to the story. Again, I love this movie. I think it's just one of the most, I'll sound pretentious, like one of the most important and best horror movies ever made. I give it a 10 out of 10.
This is going to be an interesting episode. So I take issue with some of the things that you mentioned, not many, but in particular, there's a portion you said there's very little fluff in this finely paced film. This is really a lot of fluff to me. This is
really
an astonishingly exorbitant amount of fluff in this movie. And while the bones of it are good, I can't be scared and never could during this movie because it just does a few basic things wrong.
Okay.
For me. One of the most hard to pin down, but now that I realize it, what it is there's at any given moment, there's five people on the screen having normal conversation while a piece of toast is crawling across the floor or something like that, which just takes the spook right out of it. It normalizes scary shit and puts it in big crowds of people where they're just like, I gotta take a shit. Okay, well, come on back. Hope you don't tear off your face in the meantime. You're back. Did you tear off your face? Yes, I did. Well, that's unfortunate. But it just normalizes scares in such a cram-packed, like they jam. You know, like, have you ever taken a sleeping bag that's just too big for its bag and just been like, and you're just sure the bag is going to explode because of the pressure. That's what this movie feels like to me with visual scares. It's just nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain desensitization that happens like
very early
at the probably midpoint to the end of the movie, and it goes like real bonkers, like especially towards the end, like. It is yelling and screaming and loud sounds and everything happening for a long time. And it's one of those things, if you're bought into the movie by that point, like, you're engaged.
Right.
And if you're not, it's like, all right, where's the breathing point? Where do we get to come up for some air kind of thing? I think it's, I don't know. I guess it's two ways of looking at the same thing.
Because
I look at it as saying, like, there's very little fluff because everything happens and everything is, like, stuffed in there with no like extraneous moments or extraneous like exposition.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's all packed into there to where it's so tight you can't breathe.
It's so dense, but it's also long. It's also too long for me. I'm constantly bothered by, and look, if I have time to get bored in a long movie, then I literally just start seeing it as an editor going, you cut this out, you cut this out. That took 15 seconds too long. This took a minute and a half too long. And then I'm just irritated by the fact that this could have been an hour and a half. And,
I don't even remember what the playing time was for this.
It's about, it's 1 hour and 54 minutes.
Yeah, that's not too long.
It's too long. It's too long for this. I get real bored at about the midway point on this movie. And then I'm just trying to make it through really very much, which is unfortunate because it has a lot of impressive, technically impressive pieces throughout.
See, I love it. I love the story.
I think this boils down to a lot. This is, look, you either have strong nostalgia for this movie or you don't.
No, I mean, I didn't see this until adulthood, so yeah. I don't have nostalgia for it. I just watched it like unaffected.
I think you do have nostalgia for it. I think you do. As I was watching this, I was like, I get why Bryce loves this movie. This is like super like white bread, middle America, suburbia horror.
Uh-huh.
And it's everything about his childhood that he remembers fondly. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of that fact.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you grew up like in this type of family, it feels more real to you. Like, so it's,
yeah,
it resonates, you know.
Were your mom and dad smoking a bunch of pot after you went to bed?
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, I, yes, there are things you could cut out of it. Like there's like a whole basic act you could cut out. The whole stuff with like the paranormal, investigators, like you could just not do that. You could just jump right to they hire a psychic.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Because it develops it. It goes from the family. So here's the ramp up that I love is all American family. Everything's great. kind of weird little things start happening, but no one notices it, to weird stuff starts happening, and they do notice it, and they're like, whoa, we all recognize this weird stuff's happening.
And then it happens so much that they get numbed out to it, and they're just sitting there drinking coffee while the fucking steak crawls across the counter.
It goes from that to all of a sudden it ramps up really quick to, oh, it stole our kid. Yeah. And then it jumps forward in time, like, he's completely haggard. They've obviously been, like, dealing with this for weeks and, like, like recruit this paranormal investigators to where, at this point, they are, like, it's so old school, old news to them.
Yeah.
They're like, And the paranormal investigators are like,
this is incredible.
To where they're, like, shaking.
Yeah.
And then it goes from that to, like, we are over our heads, and then they have to, like, ramp up and recruit more people, which is Tangina, and then it starts going down to the end to where...
Yeah, and then you have, like, your final act.
Stuff is resolved, you know, epilogue, craziness, but that ramp up is very, very natural, and it really works for me.
So, a few things. There are also a few points in this where the movie... Where I go, well, that's just dumb. I go, that would never... If a ghost took my child away, there's no way I wouldn't be fucking calling everybody on Earth. And
right.
He's like a week into this thing. He's like, look, I haven't even called the cops yet. I was like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. This movie is basically just Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And this is why it feels so Steven Spielberg-y, is because it has an auxiliary act where it's a playful act, where it's like, first you have the intro, here's our family, and then here's the playful act, where it lulls you into a false sense of security, and where we're sliding across the floor, and we got a chair, and we got it all drawn out, and we're getting obsessed with it. If you build it, they will come. I'm going to make this shit out of mashed potatoes. And like,
right.
And it's, that part is so Steven Spielberg-y and so Close Encounters-y.
That's what I love though.
I know.
That's my favorite part.
And I don't have a problem with that very much. It does. I'll tell you, I really appreciate the slimmed down version of this movie, which is Paranormal Activity. Because Paranormal Activity just whole cloth stole so much from this movie.
Yeah.
It's just, and every successful haunting movie after this.
That's what I mean. It's like a template.
It is a template, but, they cut all, they trim all the fat in the Paranormal Activity movies. But one of my favorite acts of all the Paranormal Activity movies is the first act where you feel nice and you're like, okay, it's not yet. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad is happening yet.
Yeah.
And this dwells on that. This movie really fucking soaks you in that to the point where it almost doesn't work for me.
But it doesn't take that much time to do it. Like, it's just enough. It's just enough to get you to that point.
I would argue it's far too much for me.
But also ramps up really quickly. I mean, the time between the beginning of the movie and the time where Carol Ann is taken is not a long time.
If you don't shut your fucking mouth, I will kill you.
Okay, anyways. So what score do you give it?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I already said 10 out of 10.
Oh, okay. I think I got a... I'm going to get some hate on this one, but I enjoy it to the, and this is even generous to what I enjoy it to. I enjoy it to the tune of a low 7.
Oh, fuck you. All right. Let's.
I mean, really, if I could very easily move down to a 6 just because it's just bores me. It's just a boring, boring movie.
And you gave Paranormal Activity a 3, a 10 out of 10.
Yes, because it does not bore me at all. Mm. It's got me fucking ripped up in terms of terror.
All right. Well, different strokes for different folks.
No accounting for taste.
Well, you know what holds up really well? Shirts from Night Channels.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, I know. Nightchannels.com is one of our sponsors, and they have some of the coolest tees and hoodies that you could find on the internet.
Describe my shirt.
It's a tremor shirt.
Yeah.
It's like the poster of the Tremors.
Right. It's got the tremor coming up from below and getting ready to eat the words Tremors.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It's really cool. It's black and white. It's kind of has that gritty sort of like staticky vibe, kind of like an alien shirt you might expect.
Yeah, you got to go. I mean, honestly, what we've been telling people is you just have to go and browse nightchannels.com. They have like really obscure horror movies represented there, as well as, occult and metal and like alternative music shirts, the whole spectrum.
And if
why don't you call out some of these?
Yeah. And if you enter HMT at checkout, you get 13% off, and they'll send you a little slip for even more off on your next purchase. I think 15% off. So here we got, they got a Sallow shirt. That's the unwatchable, the first original unwatchable movie, quote unquote. They got Terminator 2, Altered States, Blade Runner, and all of these are really cool one-off designs that you've never seen before. Return of the Living Dead. They got the Tar zombie.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name. Friday the 13th, 8-bit. The Wicker Man, Scanners, The Shining, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Rosemary's Baby, The Predator, Dune. Like, oh, they got a guinea pig shirt. I watched Guinea Pig 2, Flower, Flesh, and Blood the other day, and it is alarming. It's just a snuff film.
Okay.
It's just a guy killing someone and dismembering her.
Hmm. And sounds delightful.
Yeah, well, they have the original guinea pig, which I haven't seen yet, but it's on my list. So.
So honestly, I mean, we could go on forever listing out these shirts, but I mean, you'll come across something that you're like, I can't believe they made a shirt out of that.
Yeah.
So go browse nightchannels.com. When you inevitably choose to buy a shirt or a hoodie, use code HMT at checkout for 13% off your first order. The scariest percentage. Also, sponsor of the month and the origin of the One Titty Challenge, we have Manscaped.
.com,
baby.
You know what? Don't you hate cutting your nuts?
Oh my God.
Jesus.
I hate it so much I've never done it. Because I bought Manscaped to avoid that.
Well, you know, you can imagine the screams that you'd make if you cut your balls. Those are the screams that I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Wow. You need to try this out for yourself.
Tell
the
me more.
Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce those painful nicks and tugs. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HMT at checkout at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code HMT. Always use the right tools for your tool. Just want to thank our patrons real quick. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/horrormovietalk. If you like us, there's even more of us there. We have a whole other afterpod or a whole other podcast called The Afterpod, where we leave the mics running and talk about various things. A new perk that we added because we actually have advertisers now is an advertisement-free version of the podcast that you can get early access to. And those are pretty reasonably priced, considering we're giving you hours and hours and hours a month of content.
Yeah, that's at the $6.66 tier. You can, no commercials.
Mm-hmm. Also, check out our resident artist, Dustin Goebel. He's a professional artist who fucks hard. He also takes commissions for artwork from HMT fans. Like, really amazing commissions. Like, really put it to him, and he will deliver.
Yeah, and at a Yeah. Unfairly reasonable price.
Yeah, Jizzy revealed that she commissioned the Cannibal the Musical print. And that is amazing.
Yeah. Like, it's of such incredible detail that...
like, every significant scene is represented on this poster.
Yeah, he made. He's got to be putting in unhealthy amounts of time into that. But, I mean, and I was talking to him the other week, and I was like, man, I really wish I knew how to draw. And then I thought about that for a moment and said, I really wish I wanted to know how to draw. Because uh-huh. if I wanted to, I would. Because it's just it's so simple. The barrier to entry is so easy. But the bottom line is, I don't want to bad enough. And he's just compelled.
Yeah. So anyways, and he's very reasonable price. I mean, Jizzy was a artist herself. And even she was like, yeah, he's probably not charging enough for this. So if you want to exploit Dustin, check him out at dgoebel00 on Instagram. That's dgoebel00 on Instagram. Let your artistic dreams come true. Our number again is 682-253-4468 to leave us a voicemail. Thanks again for listening, and let's get into spoilers. Spoilers. Okay. So, first to address some of the controversies around this movie. We already talked about the cursed production, but two people died, and it's kind of they're attached to this movie. I'm not sure how much of it has anything to do with the production, but
probably zero.
Yeah. But the girl that played Carol Ann died.
The fact that more people don't die following movie productions very frequently is actually more impressive than people occasionally die.
Right. The teenage daughter, which she's not in very much of this movie, like died like in her 20s and like from a coma. She never recovered from a coma or something. I didn't really look into it, but there's some deaths around it and weirdness. The other controversy is whether or not Toby Hooper actually directed this movie.
Really? That's
yeah,
a point of contention.
Because you read some of the background, you're like,
what do you mean some of the background?
Yeah, it's kind of questionable because it sounds like, and it's pretty much, what the production looked like was, so Steven Spielberg wrote and produced this movie. Right. So it's definitely like Spielberg's vision for this movie.
Yeah, and his name is plastered all over it.
And on set, he was on set like the entire production. Like, maybe he was not in it, not on set, involved in the shooting of it for 10%. A small percentage of it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, he was there more or less directing it. And it sounds like Toby Hooper would, like, set it up, get it going, and then Spielberg would make all the adjustments.
Ooh.
You know? And the thing that Spielberg says about it is, well, Toby is kind of a, like, not a very... you know, aggressive personality that, you know, he'll acquiesce, you know, I'll give a good idea and he'll be like, oh yeah, that sounds good kind of thing.
That's an interesting take. If you ask the people who were on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you get a totally different perspective on Toby Hooper and him cracking the whip. That is a notoriously plagued by misfortune and anger set.
Right. The other relevant information is Toby. So the other thing that people say is that Spielberg made all the storyboards for the whole movie. So this is a pretty important part for planning. And then I think there's some kind of contention where Toby said, like, oh, I made about half of them, which is still like, shouldn't the director be making all of those?
Yeah.
And then the final one that's kind of like a clue is that the lady that played Tangina is not a big fan of Toby Hooper, and she said that he had a drug problem, and so he wasn't, like, probably all there.
I'll tell you the real nail in the coffin on this one that kind of points to it being Steven Spielberg.
If you watch it.
Well, no. Well, said, yeah, that one too. Okay, so the other nail in the coffin. This is something that Steven Spielberg did a lot of in the 80s with Gremlins, you know. Mm-hmm. Gremlins is not, you know, you may not realize this, but Gremlins is not a Steven Spielberg, quote unquote, Steven Spielberg directed film.
Yeah.
It's
Joe Dante.
Joe Dante.
But I think Joe Dante was like, that doesn't feel like an iconic Steven Spielberg type movie.
It feels like there were arguments about like going back and forth. It does feel about 50% iconic Steven Spielberg to me. And then it feels about 50% Joe Dante.
Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's literally like people believe that Tobe Hooper did not direct this movie, that it was really Steven Spielberg. And then the other rumor was that it was to get around like contracts for him being able to do E.T. at the same time, basically. Mm. So that is an interesting little bit of trivia. So hopping into the movie, I love so many little things about this movie. There's so many like little moments that give this movie color, and yeah, it starts from the outset, and it's just a touchstone of a very good storyteller. You know, those first like opening expositional shots and stuff, it's really interesting to see how people treat that. And this one, it's the dog walking through the house.
This was the other. As soon as I saw that dog, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Bryce loves this movie to an extent that he's probably not even fully conscious of.
Well, I mean, that's why I say like this family,
because Bryce just got a dog that looks just like this fucking dog.
Well, she's cream colored though. Okay. Completely different. No, this family is aggressively all American. Yeah. Like it's such an anachronism now.
Yes.
To be like, oh, it's a white bread family with a golden retriever living in their, you know, single occupancy home.
It's got the square dad. It's got the hippie mom. It's got their
2.5 kids.
Hardcore like capitalist, but also like fuck the man. You know, it's you're such an amalgamation of middle America. It's almost like they made a checklist and then like, you know, they just went down it.
And now it's like, oh, I mean, it's almost like if you watch this, like I said, it's an anachronism because it feels like you can't do that.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't just have a family that's not broken in some way or like has someone important die or is like some kind of cultural mix of something or other.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, these are white bread people. It's a white bread family.
Get used to it.
In white bread America. And that's what I like about it. Because I'm white bread. But yeah, the dog walking through the house introduces the family. And almost immediately, we see Carol Ann talking to the TV. The static on the TV. And people are a little weirded out by it, but no one really thinks too much about it. This is another thing where kids and dogs as a trope in horror movies, it just works.
Solid.
It just works.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's this thing where they don't know what's going on. They're so innocent. They don't think anything's out of place. But they also do weird things all the fucking time.
Right. Yeah. Like they're inexplicable.
Kids are like naturally creepy. Sometimes.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, yeah.
Wake up with them hovering over you, staring at you.
Yeah.
You know, they stare out into space. They talk to nothing, you know.
Yeah.
That happens not in a haunted house.
Right. Just, yeah. It happened to me just a couple minutes ago going, to the bathroom in your restroom here. Your child was standing in the bathroom talking at the floor, and I was like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, and then the potty's over there, and I gotta go. It's like, okay.
Yeah. So lots of little moments. Like I said, one of my favorite little moments was the kids on the street harassing who I labeled as DUI Dan.
That's a good
on
name
his bike.
For him.
This guy on his bicycle carrying a giant, like,
flat of beer.
Yeah, flat of beer.
Yeah. Yeah. 82. Who I did, I like. I was born in 84. You were born in 82. And I remember when I was a little kid, like, remote control, maybe it was just by virtue of the fact that I was so young, but I thought remote control cars were like super hard to get a hold of.
Well, they're way more expensive back then.
They were.
Even cheap RC cars. Like
Radio Shack cars.
Yeah, like Toys R Us, Radio Shack, like not even real radio controlled cars, just toys. We're like
$50.
$50,
and
which is
50
an
bucks
insane
back then
amount
was,
of money.
Was like $100 now.
Yeah, you could buy a CD-ROM for that.
a floppy drive.
But now, like, you can buy a shitty RC car for like
$10.
$6 or something. Yeah. It's nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, I do remember watching this as a kid and being like, holy God, look at those RC cars.
And then, of course, it was... Yeah, but if you had those RC cars, you wouldn't run them in front of a bike and let them get demolished.
Oh, my God, no. They were like gold. Gold!
But it was worth it to see DUI Dan on his ass.
Oh, man, so much Star Wars paraphernalia in this movie. This is basically a Star Wars. And this is the reason why George Lucas is worth double what Spielberg is worth. Literally, is merchandising, people.
I love the relationship between Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. If you know much about it. Because, like, they're collaborators. They're both auteurs. Like, Steven Spielberg is obviously better. But
obviously.
George Lucas, you know, now history, kind of the full picture is George Lucas kind of fell ass backwards into one of the most iconic movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. That was really just like a amalgamation of events that was perfect for that one guy. And, but yeah, it's kind of can you imagine having a cohort or a friend that's just one of the most successful people in the world in your same field? And you're like, just celebrating them.
Yeah.
By using a bunch of Star Wars paraphernalia in your movie and just being like, yeah. These are great.
Dude, down to the goddamn light switch in that kid's room. They had a really badass looking C-3PO light switch.
But I'll tell you, isn't that weird that that's not anachronistic? My kid's room is Star Wars themed.
Oh, yeah. No, right.
It's like that's not like, oh, that was big in the 80s.
Right, no.
It's like, no, that's big since the 80s.
Yeah, my dining room is Star Wars themed.
The other thing that's really impressive is how quickly they establish all the important elements in terms of like what they need to set up for the scares in this movie. They set up the TV immediately,
right?
Like the static on the TV. They set up the scary tree
with
what's his name,
the boy.
What's his name? I forgot it already.
His name is...
It's not Steven. Steven is the...
Robbie.
Robbie. Robbie's fear of the tree and the creepy clown.
The creepy clown, the storm.
The storm. Like, all of that... Oh, and the closet. The scary closet.
Yeah.
All of that is established within the first 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, they do a good job.
And back to back to back.
Yeah.
You know, so like in terms of storytelling, it's just really, he knows what he's doing, you know.
It's tight in terms of storytelling, yes.
Yeah. And then after that stuff is set up, immediately it starts going into it. the family is like sitting, like a big storm is happening, and what is it? The family's in bed.
Yeah, and then Carol Ann, all the kids are in bed, and the mom and dad are smoking pot in their room.
Right. This is after that, though, because I think they're all in bed, and then Carol Ann comes into their room where the TV is on static, and she's, like, starting to whisper to the TV again.
Yeah.
While everyone's asleep. And all of a sudden, a hand jerks out of the TV.
Yeah.
Which, to me, was, like, really effective in terms of, like, the music cue and like the instant shock of it. And then it almost immediately turns into a weird cartoon Disney hand.
Right.
Like almost immediately.
Yeah. So fast that if you blink, you will miss it.
Right.
That cartoony shit. And along with a lot of the effects in this movie are super cool, but they don't work at all for me in terms of scares. They just work against the movie. They turn it into a circus / Disney movie. It's like, okay, well, here it is. This is a Disney ride.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that perspective. Like, I could see how you wouldn't like it, or the aesthetic of it isn't great. I think it still works. I still really liked it. Like, I jumped at several moments, so the hand jutting out, the giant head coming out of the closet, I think is still effective. Like, I think the ethereal, weird tendril ghost coming down the stairs is still really cool. Like, all that stuff, it works for me.
Yeah.
It still feels very, like, of the time, but it's the best of the time.
I'll tell you.
The stuff that doesn't work is that when they open the door and like all the stuff is floating around in the room and it's very obviously like green screened and out of scale with each other.
Yeah.
It's like who, and the,
it's almost like it was an attempt at 3D, which would not surprise me. I'd be interested to find that out because this is 82. That's the year Friday the 13th 3D came out. This is right around when everybody was trying to do the 3D thing.
Right.
Did you know the silver screen, the term silver screen, they were actually screens that were silver.
Mm-hmm.
And
or had silver
had
woven
silver
into it.
Woven into it. And you needed to use them for a lot of these early 3D movies in order for the effect to be pulled off. You can't view Friday the 13th 3D, the original cut, in 3D unless you have a silver screen. You have to watch like a remastered 3D version of it.
Mm.
Anyway.
So that stuff still works for me, but yeah, like the Red Letter Media did an episode on The Exorcist and they brought up this like compare and contrast because The Exorcist also has a scene where they open the door and shit is flying around the room.
Right. Yeah.
The difference is, and The Exorcist is way more effective, especially it being scary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The difference is, do you know how they did it in Exorcist versus this movie?
Well, in The Exorcist, it was all so practical. It was all practical effects.
Yeah. It was just people off camera just hucking shit.
Right.
Just taking every like record and stuff and just throwing it across the room violently.
Jesus.
And this one is like, you know, probably the world's largest computer computing the green screen for about 2 weeks to get this like, ooh, look, spooky. It's floating around. Look at this lamp in a lampshade. Oh, they're going to fuck. Wow.
Oh, they're going to fuck.
That stuff doesn't work at all now. It looks so hammy.
Yeah.
The ethereal stuff, like the lightning effects and like all that stuff, I think that still works. And that's like, it's kind of one of those things where, if you know the limitations of the special effects at the time and you know how to use them well, it still is timeless.
Right.
That stuff is timeless for me. Like Ghostbusters still looks great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and same with like Jurassic Park. Like there are huge limitations. And it's like, no, Spielberg knew what he was doing, knew what CGI could do. And they're like, put it in the rain.
Right.
You know, make it really dark.
Right.
And only show this part. You know,
right. And use practical effects for these parts.
Right.
You know, like there. Yeah. Jurassic Park is one I will always point to as being...
That's also a perfect
movie. Completely yeah. timeless yeah. in terms of effects. And, you know, to be honest with you, Poltergeist is shockingly good at the special effects. There are this, you know, that bedroom scene is the one, maybe one of two effects that don't hold up at all. Mm-hmm. And it hurts because they really don't hold up.
Right.
But man, I mean, for 1982, I mean, you look at that. If you take a look at that house getting crumpled up at the end of this movie, mm-hmm. I still am like, how the fuck did they do that? It looks so good.
Yeah, man. And every single good effect, everything that's good in movies from that is timeless in special effects, it all points to Industrial Light and Magic. Like, if you were to point to George Lucas's impact on the film industry, that company...
Jim Henson, though, too.
...is the most...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, successful effects company in history.
Mm.
And it works so well. Like, yeah. And it spun off like so many other companies that are also hugely influential. I mean, it spun off Pixar.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. They're like, ILM is like, Pixar, well... We'll work on it for this, but it's okay. We don't need that. We got our shit together, and then they spin off, and it becomes Pixar.
I would argue the other big one is Jim Henson.
Like, sure,
I mean he's the other side of that whole thing. All the things that work about puppetry was all pioneered by Jim Henson.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
but specifically puppetry, ILM is like any special effect,
all purpose,
any CGI, anything like that. Is ILM and others, you know,
yeah.
The closest competitor now that people talk about is probably like the Weta studio, like the guys that did Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyways, so now it enters like my favorite part of the movie, which is the family like toying with it. They're like amused at it. My favorite scenes are the ones with Diane, the mother,
mm-hmm. and the little girl,
like finding out that the house is haunted.
Where she's
like,
enthused about it.
And she's super enthused about it when Stephen comes home and she like rushes out. She's like, you got to come see this. You got to see this. And then he's like, the cans. He's trying to bring in the garbage cans, which is also a great little moment. Brings him in and shows him like, I put the chair here and it gets pushed over there.
Which is, that's exactly how it, if you discovered that in your house,
right?
This is what it would look like.
Exactly.
You'd be like, okay, wait, I got to get some fucking markers. And then you draw all over your floor and you'd be like, okay, it could start here and then it goes there. And it doesn't work if I put it here or here. Or twitch it this way or that way. And then you'd be like, friends, family, behold what I have found.
Yeah, like that's what I love about the movie is that grounds it in reality for me to where, yes, this feels like how people would react to this. This feels realistic.
Sure.
At this point.
At this point. Yes.
Later on, it gets a little... Goofy. They take a little more liberties than what would a normal parent do.
Yeah, it becomes kind of a caricature of itself.
So anyways, there's lots of other little moments. I keep mentioning little moments, but some of the ones that stand out to me...
That's what this movie is.
Yeah.
It's a huge, overly long amalgamation of little moments.
But even outside of the main storyline, this is like a touchstone of Spielberg, is like... When they're talking to the neighbors and the mosquitoes are biting them, And the neighbor's like, I've never been bothered by mosquitoes.
Have you?
Must be genetic.
Have you, boy? He hasn't either.
Yeah. It's like just kind of a weird off the hand moment, but it's just like, all right, asshole. Just makes it, adds a little color to the movie and a little character development. Like the little mention with Dana in the hotel. She's like, oh, yeah, I know Holiday Inn. And the mother's like, what? What the fuck? What? Yeah,
I secretly wished we had been doing taglines for this one at the end, because I really wanted to say this tagline, so I'm going to say it now.
Go for it.
Poltergeist. The world's longest Holiday Inn commercial.
And Pizza Hut.
And Pizza Hut, yeah.
Apparently, there's like a really jarring cut that happens right at this mosquito moment, too, between the kitchen and when they're talking to...
A delivery guy shows up and he's like, I have pizza from Pizza Hut, the best pizza delivery service ever.
Because they mention Pizza Hut, and then Craig T. Nelson's character, apparently in the cut version, says like, oh, I hate Pizza Hut. It tastes like shit, basically. And they're like, Pizza Hut doesn't like that. We got to take out that part.
And they're like,
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Eat the Pizza Hut.
Yeah, the neighbor, the parents getting high, like all these little moments that you could cut out.
Yeah.
It doesn't really add anything specific to the story, but it adds character and flair.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how it must feel for you when I'm so excited about a movie that you're like, this is dumb. I don't care about this. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be on the, isn't it weird to be on the other end of this, to be like enthused about it and have somebody else be like, ugh. All right.
You don't like all those little moments?
They're fine. I just don't care, you know? Like, okay, that's not true. I really like the part where they're getting high in bed. It makes them believable as people. The problem is, you got to know when to pump the brakes. I'm bought in now. And you're talking about fucking mosquitoes.
But they all take like, 2 seconds.
Right. And it's all those nothing. 2 second, 10 million 2 second minute deals add up to a half hour of shit that I don't need to see.
You take that out, though. It's like every other movie. It's like you get, it's just complete. I don't know. I think it just adds personality, adds humor to the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the kind of movie that it is, which is, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but horror.
So it ramps up all this just randomly on one night. This huge storm happens. Robbie gets grabbed by the creepy tree that he's scared of, which is like great.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It goes from 0 to 60 in such, and everybody gets to see it. And this is part of my problem with it. These things that are just so unacceptably, totally not okay. Everybody is there to witness that the fucking tree reached into the house and started eating Robbie, and they're out in the mud prying him out of the tree. And then the next day we're eating breakfast. And it's like, why isn't somebody cutting down this tree? And then they keep living in the house. I'd be gone.
Didn't the tree get yanked out by the tornado, though?
Tornotter. Oh, yeah, it did get, got pulled up. But they're still in the house. And nobody's like, remember when that giant tree reached into the house and started eating Robbie? I like kicks. What do you like?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. At the exact same time, Carol Ann was sucked into the closet, into the nether realm. And so... They're not going to, normally you would just leave the house, be like, well, fuck that. Like, that's
Okay, good point.
The chairs was fun, but when trees start eating my son, no. We go to the Holiday Inn and have Pizza Hut for dinner.
The part of this that gets me is like the level of bullshit that they're willing to put up with is unbelievable.
See, that's... It skips the part where it fills in all that, because it goes from her being taken and them like panicking to cut to
4 days later.
Craig T. Nelson, like indefinite amount of time, but he is like haggard, huge, dark bags under his eyes. And he's like on his last legs. And so if you're to compare it to The Exorcist, like you see a little more of what's her name? Reagan's mom, like trying to go through all these different avenues and having hitting roadblocks and having no one believe her, or having like nothing working. It skips all of that.
Right.
It goes straight to him in the office of the paranormal investigators and on his last leg and brings him in. And so that's another reason where I can point to and say, like, that's smart. They cut out all that stuff, just jump forward. It communicates so much in that jump cut. To me, I mean, I think it's great storytelling.
Right, and that's what, and that's the thing that. Well, no, that's my big problem with this is the amount of shit that they're willing to endure. Like,
right, but I mean, that's what's communicated by that is that the fact that they're able to endure it, they're desensitized to it because they've been around it for long enough.
No, and I'll tell you why. Here's the proof is when all this is said and done at the end and they get their little girl back, they're hanging out in the house taking naps and shit, soaking in the tub.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, that makes sense though, because Tangina said the house is clear.
That does not make any sense. You're going to have all that shit happen. A tree eat your son.
Yeah, but
the closet eat your daughter.
They're moving though.
Weeks.
The next scene is they're packing up the moving truck. They are moving.
You would not be able to pay me any sum of money to stay in that house because my life is in danger.
Well, hotels are expensive, David.
And that's why we have the Holiday Inn Express.
So that's the other great moment is the paranormal investigators coming to the house and them talking about like, it's amazing. We've got on film a matchbox car going across a room over the space of 48 hours.
It moved 7 feet in 48 hours. And like, wow,
I got it on a time-lapse camera.
Yeah, so you can see it move.
And Steven's reaction to that is just perfect. Yeah. He's like,
oh yeah?
Because they're going up to the door of the bedroom.
Wow.
And he's just like, mm-hmm. And he opens the door and then it's like,
I got a ghost in here that's going to suck your dick.
And it shows their reaction, these people that are like, they've dedicated, you know, their career to this of like have a claim. And then the next shot is them like shaking in like fear and
excitedness.
Right.
Yeah.
I would love a remake of Poltergeist that featured Zach Bagans as the paranormal investigator.
Who's Zach Bagans?
Or just any one of the modern day paranormal investigator reality show crews.
Oh.
Where it's like ghost encounters.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, I think his name's Zach Bagans. He's the guy that like comes in. If he was in this movie, he'd be like, demon spirit, we know you have Carol Ann. We heard that you don't like ice. I'm going to crunch up this fucking ice. Are you going to show me where you are?
Yeah.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Dustin recently bought us both a video game that's exactly this.
Right.
That's exactly this. I tried playing it with him. It was horrifying.
My computer can't take it. I'm building a new one that I'm excited.
As we record this.
So I'm excited to do it. We'll have to talk about that on the after pod. We haven't talked about it yet. So, anyways, that stuff's all great, and then it ramps up like really quick. You know, they start seeing all the ghosts. They get stuff on film. They have just weird, just off the cuff special effects that you keep mentioning. And this is one of the like great things that it shows. This has a whole range of stuff for everyone. Where if you are into gore.
Yeah.
And special effects, like the scene with the investigator where he's seen like the stake crawl across a room and then kind of explode with steakness.
Yeah, with gore.
And then he
steakness.
And then he goes into the bathroom and starts ripping off his fucking face in the mirror.
That was, I mean, this movie existed before the PG-13 rating, but that almost pushed it to an R for me. That scene alone, where he's literally ripping his face off down to the, past the musculature and into the bone.
I'd like to take his face off. If you excuse me, I have to use the little boy's wee-wee room.
Cat. You want to take his face?
Yes. His face? Oh. Eyes, nose, skin.
It's coming off.
The face.
Shut the fuck up.
It really loses stuff if you don't see the hand movement for it, though.
Face off. And you know, and this is we're getting back to the thing I don't like about this is how much you're allowed to soak in it to the point that it loses any effective scariness that it once had. Mm. Oh, so there's a portal in the house. Well, you know what? Let's play fucking catch with the portal. And now we're tossing balls back and forth. Mm-hmm. And oh, we got a rope and it's going through. And now it's not anything any more than a tool. Mm-hmm. It's not spooky. It's just a fucking thing that exists in your house, like a carousel.
Well, I mean, they only go into it once and get Carol Ann out.
Yeah, but then she tosses a tennis ball in. And it's not just one tennis ball, Mark, number one. It's another tennis ball. Oh, shit, that's in my writing, too. And now let's get a rope through it. And now let's get a person through it. And it's like, it's just too much. It's not scary. Because all these things... They're great in concept. At the same time,
you hear, like, a monster, like... growling and running after an unseen Carol Ann that's, you know, may or may not cease to exist, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing that got kind of tired or like, what are they, what's the time? It's kind of like a crutch for them a little too much where they're like, there's a light. Carol Ann, run to the light. Now run away. Turn around. Don't look at the light. Now run to it. Go through the light. Don't go through the light. Go to it. Go to it. It's calling to you, but don't look.
But like don't. that's true. Like, can you close your eyes? Can you see it through your eyelids?
But yeah, and then, I mean, I think the pacing is really well because it goes to the point where, all right, can we get this fucking girl out of the netherworld already? And they do. And Tangina is like, you know, this place, the house is clean.
I missed it. Does she say, is this the movie where she says, this house is clear?
Yes.
Is that this? Okay. Yeah. I missed that in this viewing.
Yeah. And then kind of the epilogue is... you know, hold like basically another act.
Yeah.
Because they set it up to where, okay, everything's fine. They say Carol Ann doesn't remember any of it. They're packing up everything. Steven quits his job. We skipped over like the real. Oh, no. Are we at that part yet? No, yeah. Okay. So they start moving, but they have one last day in the house, and then it goes like absolute bonkers. There's implied ghost molestation with Diane, which...
it's hot.
I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, I don't kink shame.
Yeah.
But it's trying to eat the kids again, the closet. And then they run away. Steven gets there. This is the part where Aaron... wasn't watching it with me, but she was watching something else on her laptop in the same room, and she looked up and watched like this last sequence, which if you haven't been invested in the movie and if you can't hear anything, any of the sound design or music,
it looks like a Disney ride.
If you're to watch what happens, which is Steven yelling at his boss like expositionally, "You idiot! You didn't move the bodies. You only moved the headstones." And she said, like, she loved that she was watching it, and the family's like stuck in the house, like, "Steven, save us!" And then he turns around and yells at his boss, and then all of a sudden, the family's outside, like getting in the car. I guess they remembered that it was their house and they know where the other door is.
Oh yeah, I remember now.
And then she said the moment, this is the part where I laughed out loud, because she said the moment where Steven is like struggling with his keys trying to start the car was straight out of an infomercial. Like the before shot in an infomercial. Like,
what's that subreddit, Where'd the Milk Go, or something like that? Just spaghetti. Yeah, it's something like that.
Where did the soda go?
Yeah, it's this thing where this action is too hard for me. I'm just a big dumb oaf. Oops, because we're in an infomercial and we need to sell these towels that mop up way more than they should be able to.
I imagine that this movie in the theater, knowing, not having like seen this type of like family horror movie.
Yeah.
In a group of people that were reacting to it, the ramping up and like the just bonkers ending. If you're into it, I can't imagine that there'd be a better experience.
Oh man.
Hearing other people react to it and stuff.
All the grave explosions, all these. So help me here. I'm a little iffy. Is this a Native American burial ground or is this just a burial ground? Is this just a cemetery?
That's a good question.
There's a point in this movie where the boss says it's not like it's a Native American burial ground, insinuating that the other one might have been.
Uh-huh.
But then when we get to the family, to this final act where the family is being basically tossed out onto the streets by their house, you have all these coffins coming up with people in tuxes getting shot out of them and stuff like that.
Boo.
And
That was one of the best scenes. As they're pulling away in the car, one last ghost like shoots out of a coffin, lands on the front windshield like a suckerfish.
Right. And it's not like Native Americans can't wear suits or be placed in coffins. But when you think about Native American burial grounds, there's an aesthetic that's evoked in your mind.
Right.
If you're a racist, horrible person, white person.
Yeah. Like us.
Which I'm not. No.
Oh, sorry. Not like us.
Yeah. No. Like, apparently you. Okay. But that being said, I'm a little iffy on whether or not this was a Native American burial ground, because that's definitely something that is said about this movie, you know?
Yeah,
because
the boss also lied about moving the body, so he could have also lied about it being a Native American. I think it goes more into that in Poltergeist 2.
Mm.
There's an element of Native American lore in it, because I know that they bring out like a Native American, you know, I don't know what
Native Americanized.
Native Americanized. what's it called? Like shaman.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie. But I think the main kind of villain is Kane,
the capitalist,
which is like an old, the ghost of like an old preacher that kind of had a cult around him.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong.
So had something to do with that. Anyways, I love the ending. This is a very Spielbergian ending where it's just the exhausted family, completely depleted, limping into this Holiday Inn. And then like finally Craig T. Nelson just wheels out the TV.
Yeah.
Just shoves it.
It's like, fuck this TV. Get this out of here. Yeah. It's a very Jurassic Park-y ending.
Yeah.
You know, Craig T. Nelson has quite a prolific career, more so than you.
I can't
realize.
I can't separate him from Coach.
I know. That's what my wife said. She's like, "Did you watch Coach?" I was like, "Fuck no."
I don't think I even watched Coach that much, but he's Coach.
He's like an unfunny but very talented Chevy Chasey dude, which is tall white man.
who is a decent enough actor. You know, I think he's
funny.
Oh yeah, sure.
He's got great timing.
He's in The Incredibles. He's Bob Parr in The Incredibles.
I think he's underappreciated, and I accept the fact that I underappreciate him.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Jim Belushi.
Right.
I think he's great. I know you hate Jim Belushi, but I think he's underappreciated in terms of, like, he's good.
Okay.
He's good. He's got comedic chops. He's got timing.
You know who I'll give that title to is Kevin James. Is like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's just prolific in something you may not like or want to like. Yeah, you know.
Kevin James is, I mean, that's a different thing. Kevin James is like one of the best physical comedians
of our generation.
Of the last decade.
Yeah, like, for
that's,
sure.
That's different.
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson was in Wag the Dog, The Devil's Advocate, which is a great one. Coach lasted for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
The whole 90s almost, up until 90, from 89 to 97.
Mm-hmm.
He was in so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's like super recognizable.
Turner
as Craig
Hooch.
T. Nelson. Yeah.
The movie.
So anyways, final recommendations. I mean, I guess we're kind of split on this. I totally get it if it's not anyone's bag, but I can't. I think it's perfect for that lane.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I can't think of another.
We're not split on that
movie. That's as general audience friendly.
Oh, yeah.
As Poltergeist, even Gremlins has a little too much, like, well, I mean, it's in the same realm as
it's
Gremlins.
It's very Gremlins-y in terms of the realm. I would say that this is a fantastic movie to get kids into horror. Mm-hmm. With. This is,
yeah.
It's so well-rounded in all the different aspects. It's just, you know, if you've seen it a couple too many times, it's too much for me. It's just boring. But I will say that it's such an quote unquote important movie, mm-hmm. and it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's just mileage may vary in terms of enjoyment, you know?
I mean,
if you haven't seen it, holy shit. Like, this is the template for the modern paranormal movie.
Right.
It's
I mean, we just watched
all of the recipes.
We just watched Paranormal Activity 3 and like the part where the daughter is talking to the unseen ghost is like straight, almost like verbatim.
It's like
what
they
Carol
took her
Ann
face
says.
Off. Yeah. Please no, not the whole thing.
I'd like to take his face.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
So anyways, yeah, highly recommend this. This is I think I include this on my top like 5 or 10, I think.
I think you probably movies. Do. I'm gonna check that just to make sure.
The other one that's like super close to it, which is almost the exact same story, is like a made for TV movie called The Haunting, which I also absolutely love.
You very rarely mention The Haunting. But I would really like to watch it because, well,
it's on YouTube. Like, you can find the full thing in like a shitty, like potato quality on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not on DVD or anything. It's like this played in the mid 90s
on TV,
on
once.
ABC
one time.
And it was on VHS once, maybe. So anyways, I love these type of movies. This is like straight in my lane. And okay, maybe it's from a point of privilege.
it's a proto, like modern paranormal movie.
Right.
It is not a, it's the,
yeah. Right. So anyways, let's move on to the new game.
Ooh.
Shouldn't take too long. Okay. Remake or no remake. So, in this, I don't have any music. In this game, I've got a total of 10 movies. A lot of these are classics. and you have to tell me whether it is a remake or not a remake. Are you ready?
I will do my best.
Number one. Made in 1982, Slumber Party Massacre. Has there been a remake of the 1982 Slumber Party Massacre?
Oh, has there been? I was going to say, no, there is. That was not a remake. But has there been a remake?
Has there been a remake since? Sorry, yeah. So that's, let me explain. The game is, right. I'm going to read a classic movie and you have to tell me whether there has been
it's been remade.
Yeah.
Ah, this is more complicated.
So
than
remake that. Or no remake.
Okay.
Slumber Party Massacre.
I'm going to have to say, because I believe it has not been remade, I'm going to say that's exactly the kind of thing you would have wanted me to say on the first question. So I'm going to say it has been remade.
No, it has not.
God damn, I was right.
Number two, the movie we are filming or we're recording about today, Poltergeist, 1982. Has there been a remake of Poltergeist, not including sequels?
Yeah, so do reimaginings count as remakes?
It has to have the exact same title.
The exact same title? So if this is the Poltergeist...
Is there another movie called Poltergeist that tells the same story?
Yes. Remake? It's either the Poltergeist or Poltergeist, and it was like 2010 or 11.
You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't know there was a remake.
I got excited for it at the time, and then I didn't end up going to watch it, which, as it turned out, was the right move, apparently,
right,
according to critics.
2015.
Mm-hmm. Damn. That's a lot later than what I thought.
Okay. John Carpenter's 1980 film, The Fog.
So first of all, I watched The Fog on Shudder. Enter HMT at checkout, get you 30 days free. And man, was it boring. Oh,
yeah.
God, I've never been so bored.
See, I heard so many people talking about this great John Carpenter film and that it was like, you have to see it. It has a harrowing ending.
One of the weakest.
And
John
I watched
Carpenter
The Fog. And I'm like, this is boring as fuck. And I found out like, no, it's
boring as fuck.
Not John Carpenter. It's The Mist.
Right.
They're talking about The Mist, which is Stephen King's story.
I'm almost 100% certain that the same year The Mist came out, the remake of The Fog came out. So, yes, I'm going to say this was remade.
You are correct.
I think it was like 2001 or 2.
Okay.
Is that right?
2001 that is or 2? Correct.
1 or 2?
2005.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Speaking of Stephen King movies, Cujo from 1983. Has Cujo been remade?
I think Cujo has a sequel. I think.
Not talking sequel.
I know. I'm just making a conversation here. Does that sound right to you?
How is that a sequel, though? They killed the dog at the end.
I know. But am I right, though?
There's a dog named Cujo, too.
This is the dog named in loving memory of Cujo.
You can't Google it. That's cheating.
No, I'm not Googling it.
Between 1983 and now, has there been a remake of Cujo?
Boy, 83 was the original Cujo? I think it has been, but I still want to say no. Oh, boy. Oh, this
is a real Sophie's choice here.
Now, do like made-for-TV things count? Just
no, we're talking theatrical release.
I'm going to say no then.
You're correct.
Oh, thank God.
Okay.
Oh.
Another Stephen King movie.
Hmm.
Christine. Same year, 1983.
Christine is about the car, right?
Yeah. It's been a remake of Christine.
Christine. About the car. You know, I vaguely remember some mid to, you know, like aughts remake of Christine. I'm not sure of that, but I'm going to go with my my lady's sense and say yes, it was remade.
Wrong.
No.
Has not been remade.
Dang.
I know there's at least one member of the Facebook group that wishes there was a remake of Christine. I don't know if they're still on the Facebook group. I haven't seen him post the exact same content over and over again.
Oh, no. You think, well, I mean, he's probably obsessed with Christine as well, but mostly what he makes posts of is The Car.
Right.
A movie called The Car.
No, I thought it was, I thought The Car was Christine.
No, The Car is a different movie. Oh. Both car-based horror. I can see why you would get confused.
Okay. All right.
He does good drawings of them.
All right. A little more recent.
Mm.
So how, this may or may not be an easy one.
Mm.
2002.
What am I at here for score?
You're at three.
Three, four.
Three, four, five.
Three, four, five.
So you're still on the good edge of it.
Okay.
Cabin Fever, directed by Eli Roth.
Right.
From 2002.
Yeah, this did get remade. And somewhat inexplicably, and I think with Eli Roth's help or something like that.
So yes?
I think so, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a weird one to remake.
Yeah, it was like, okay, but why? It was just a couple years ago. But I guess that's how those things work.
Okay, another 80s classic, late 80s, 1987, The Lost Boys.
Oh, man.
The Vampires.
This is a good choice on your part.
Yeah.
Man, how did you, tell me, what was your method for going through and picking these? Because you've done a good job of making them thoroughly confusingly, like, yeah, they could go either way very easily.
Right. I did a couple Google searches, like lesser known remakes or.
Yeah, but how'd you find the ones that don't have remakes? Because they're still convincing.
I think I just Googled like horror movies without a remake.
Google
and
is,
I had a list
Google
of it.
Is so good at yeah. everything. It's scary. I'm going to say it would really make a lot of people very angry if this one was remade, because I think a lot of people
okay.
hold this as such a cult classic, but now I'm seeing your,
so you're going to say no,
your bad poker face coming through here. So I'm going to say, yes, there's been a remake.
Wrong.
Damn it.
No
damn
remake.
It. No!
That was one that I was like, this is perfect for this game.
It is perfect.
Because they just remade Red Dawn, and this is like almost the exact same lane.
Yeah. What's the guy's name? It's not Kiefer Sutherland. It's
No, Kiefer Sutherland was in The Lost Boys.
Oh, okay. When was the last time you saw him in anything?
A couple of years ago.
24.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
24, and he's made several reminiscent movies and TV shows that are exactly like 24.
You guys remember 24? I did that.
Okay. Similar lane. This one may or may not be hard. 1985.
Stand by me.
Fright Night.
Has
Fright Night been remade?
People love this fucking movie, and I've seen it, and it's just so normal. It's okay.
I haven't seen it.
Neat. It's just very like, all right. For me, it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I remember them talking about remaking it. I don't know if that actually ended up happening. A remake might be in the works as we speak or something like that.
Okay, I'll tell you, I don't include any that have remakes in the works.
Oh, okay.
That I know of. I didn't check it.
Anyway. I'm going to say, I don't know. Jesus.
But the ones that I know that are remakes, it's been made.
This is just tossing a coin, so I'm going to say no, I guess.
Wrong.
Really?
2011, there was a remake of Fright Night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where, how am I doing?
You are at four, and we have two left.
Oh, I need to get them both to win.
So you have a chance
one to tie
to win it. All right.
Here it comes. Here it is.
Horror classic.
Okay.
George Romero's 1968
Night of the Living Dead.
The Night of the Living Dead.
How could it not have been, right?
Right?
1968, which means 70, 80, 90, 10. It's been like 60 years.
This, I mean, it's such a fog of zombie movies, though.
Yeah.
It could go either way.
It's,
you know, Dawn of the Dead has been remade.
Oh, yeah.
That's no question.
I'm going to say yes, this has been remade.
Correct.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. To win it.
Okay, I got it tied up.
To win it.
Got a 5 out of 10. Or a 5 out of 9. Here we go. Here we go.
The People Under the Stairs from 1991.
I just watched this year, or rewatched it this year. Mm-hmm. It holds up only as a 90s movie.
Mm.
And I remember, man, one of my earliest horror memories comes from a friend talking about this and me being just like, being like, there's this movie and it's called The People Under the Stairs. And it's about these people that are under the stairs and they're kept in this house by this evil couple. And I was like, oh, this is the scariest thing I've ever heard of. I think this is Wes Craven movie. The original is, anyway. It's Wes Craven. And I'm going to say that it has been remade.
Wrong. Oh, has not been remade.
Oh, darn.
Wow. So it's a tie.
Tie.
So 5 out of 10. I have a tiebreaker.
Oh!
I just came up with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We recently... I don't even know if we've... Oh, yeah. We've released this. Rosemary's Baby.
This is a spectacular question.
Has Rosemary's Baby been remade?
Oh, man. This is so hard. Another one in the 60s. Yes, I'm going to say yes, it has.
According to the rules of this game, no.
What it
has not.
What's the situation?
It's been remade as a TV movie. It's not a theatrical release. I found a two-part TV movie starring Zoe, what's her name, as Rosemary.
Oh, I probably shouldn't search on IMDb. It'll be all confused. Rosemary's Baby. It's your baby, Rosemary. Yeah, 2014 miniseries. Television miniseries, Rosemary's Baby. Wow.
So.
Bummer, I lost.
You lose.
Good day, sir. What a cool game. I like that game.
I think we'll only be able to play it once. Like, it's such a lane.
Yeah.
It's such a lane where it's like.
Yeah.
These would obviously be remade, or.
Yeah.
These are the exact type of movies of, like, they're so iconic, but you've never. The remakes had no attention to them whatsoever.
Yeah, here, let me do. Let me try.
Okay,
Reanimator.
No.
Are am I sure about this? okay, Reanimator. Let's see here.
There's been a sequel, probably a couple sequels.
There was one sequel that I know of for sure.
That feels like a movie that would have a sequel that you know of, and like 13 that you've never heard of.
I guess I have to ask, remake? Let's see here. It doesn't appear. Oh, Herbert West, Reanimator, 2017. Let's see if this is. Let's see here.
I thought it was Herbert.
After the loss of his daughter, Eleanor, famous scientist Dr. Herbert West, experimenting with a special serum invented by him, desperately tries to bring her back to life. And technically, Reanimator is just kind of a reimagining of The Brain That Wouldn't Die, which was kind of the 60s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes. The answer is yes. There's been a remake in 2017.
It's called Reanimator, and it's not a sequel? What's the title of it?
My apologies. I read this wrong. The actual title is called Herbert West : Reanimator.
Hmm.
So, no.
That
yeah, that no, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit your
no, not exactly the rubric, but that's close. Okay,
pretty close.
That was Remake or No Remake. Thank you so much for listening. Again, we love your support. We love your listens. We love your downloads. We love you. We love the way that your eye twitches when you smile. Like, I love the way that you put on your shoes in that certain way.
That way that you do.
Go to horrormovietalk.com to find links to all of our social media. You can talk to us and tell us that you love us or hate us. Also, our voicemail number is
682-253-4468. I love the way you purse your lips while you sleep.
Mm-hmm. And again, check out our Patreon. You got lots of good perks at all different levels. Any support that you can lend us is awesome. We love you. Until next time.
Bye.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky out there, guys.
Looking for a podcast full of burps and gas, perverted cast, skinny and fat? Look no further. Horror Movie Talk is accidentally funny, begs to donate money, fake sponsors for dummies, and so much more. New episodes every hump day. They'll pickle your dickle for foreplay. Patreon members have it your way. Vote for a movie every month for the review. Chompa Chompa, don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone hoodie, Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating Jello. Puddin' Pop done gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner Robson. Kiss Bryce Hansen. Look at them hot kids, Chris Henson. Masturbate with a crucifix, exorcist. Face huggers, chest bursters, alien. Linda Blair peed on Sigourney Weaver. I know it's true, cause it came from social media. Patrick Bateman can't understand you. Stab you to death for rotten apple reviews. Opinionated podcaster with a doctorate. Spookology, doctor of philosophy. Bad gastritis, knee colostomy. Turn Patreons into human centipedes. David Dubie Day, scare him, no expert. And Goble fucks hard, professional sexpert. Afterpods, taglines, and porno flicks. American Psycho, them guys pretty sick. Chompa Chompa, don't just stare at it, eat it like a taco. Put your tongue through the phone hoodie, Picasso. Look at them hot kids swearing not a pedo. Got me too'd with Cosby eating Jello. Puddin' Pop done gave Bryce flatulence. Train addict Dave doesn't give a shit. 1 through 10, is it horrible or excellent? Oil me up, daddy, is dinner rubs. Nothing good happens in the woods. Always get more than you bargained for. Got a pickle to dickle. Machines tickle bitties. Killer on the phone. Ain't no sharing stone. Vancouver, Portland, Oregon, and organs. Corona, COVID, curse, Lerona. Green River killer, because reasons. Hallway of poop monster, kids screaming. Extraordinary dingleberry itinerary. 30 days shutter and jump scares ain't fucking scary. Time for the spoilers with jokes and tropes. Use their white socks to catch their loads. To show them one titty, pretty. Paganism you should worship, they Teflon dicks. Pacific Northwest, let them see one breast. Shifty ass, stay spooky, poor man's digress. Bugsy, HMT, Horror Movie Talk. Hold on, they don't like Halloween. Fuck them.
I'd like to take his face off. Yes. If you excuse me, I have to use the little boy's wee-wee room.
Cat. You want to take his face?
Yes.
His face. Eyes. Nose. Skin. It's coming off. The face.